Please open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 7. Our scripture reading today is verses 1 to 23. You'll find it, if you're using the Pew Bible, on page 125. In the new members class, when I teach on Reformed worship, in fact, I did an article recently on this, we believe in what's called the regulative principle of worship. We don't decide what we do in the worship service. God's Word decides. And so people will ask about various elements of worship. That's a very legitimate thing. And I've had people say, where's the scriptural warrant for the offering, which we just did? Well, here's a passage that gives that very thing. You see that tithes and offerings are given for the support of the ministry of the priesthood in the context of the worship of the tabernacle. Everything about it signifies the worship aspect of giving, and it's given publicly by the various elders to Moses to be distributed to the Levites in the context of public worship. That is why we do this. Now, this passage says something important to church members. It says something important to the church. To church members, it says that your giving is important. There's always in every congregation members who essentially give nothing, who maybe throw in a dollar or two or $20 here or there, but are not systematically giving of their monies, tithing and offerings as God enables them, to the work of the church. If that is you, I would ask you as we read this passage, where are you in this? We are called to support the work of the church. The work of the church is designed by God to be materially supported by the people of the congregation. That is such an important thing. Now, I emphasize this not because I want a bigger budget, these sorts of things. God takes care of the church. We see that year in, year out. God provides for us. The offerings that they're going to give here come from God. That's where the silver came from. That's where the animals came from. He prospers his people so that they can support the church. I have virtually no concerns about God doing that. People say, well, the economy's down. Well, God's going to provide for us. The question is, are you worshiping him with your lives as you should be? And so every one of us should reflect. Paul says that weekly giving is more or less the ideal. Set aside something every week to give generously to the church. We ought to, all of us, be giving generously, tithing and offerings above it as we can on a week-by-week basis. If we do that, the church is going to do fine. I'd like to point out that the enemy, we're learning about the enemy in Revelation, he's raising money. People are giving sacrificially to his causes. They believe in those causes. They sacrifice to them. Our great need as a Christian people is that we would care, at least in equal measure, about the kingdom of Christ in the dark days in which we live. Now, this passage also speaks importantly to the church, that the church is not to engage in extraneous fundraising, that the church is to get its money for ministry, its materials, through the regular giving of the congregation. There's always a temptation to build a large endowment fund, and therefore we'll have cash reserves, and we don't really need people to give because we've got it taken care of. That's not what God designs. That injures, in some cases, it destroys the church. I ministered in Philadelphia for many years. It's filled with preaching palaces that have no people, but lots of money. The endowment cranks out millions every year. It ceased to be spiritual. There was no motive to preach the word. We're not to do that. There are times when churches may have ways that money comes to them in small or large ways. Many churches today have basically businesses they're operating to fund the budget. Our section actually has a resolve that any monies that come in that sort of way will not go to the general fund. An example is our parking lot. About a year ago, we came to the conclusion that we needed it to be managed. And so there's a company that does that. We get a remarkably small amount of money for that. And the session formally voted that that money would not go to the general fund. It goes to the paving fund. And so the church may store money for special projects, but the budget is the giving of the people of God week by week for the year. The Holy Spirit blesses the word. And what satisfaction we have. This church is not run by a few rich people who carry the weight, and we make sure you know who they are. It's all of us tithing. It's our church under the Lord. That is the attitude that we are to have. I was really blessed last year when we had a surplus of the budget. It wasn't that big, but it was pretty big, and the session voted to use all of it for the kingdom. Money went to Peru to buy some equipment. We gave money to another church that was trying to do a building. We put money in funds where we're helping needy people in our own congregation. The church lives by the power of God working through the lives of the congregation. What a thrill it is to us. You know, when we're at the end of our lives, looking back, particularly if the Lord gives us the privilege of staying together over the years, some of our greatest satisfactions were that we were a part of the church and the work of the church in many ways, but one of them is through our giving. Well, let's have these things in mind as we give ear to God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 1 of Numbers 7. Now it came to pass, when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle, that he anointed it and consecrated it and all its furnishings and the altar and all its utensils. So he anointed them and consecrated them. Then the leaders of Israel, the heads of their fathers' houses, who were the leaders of the tribes, and over those who were numbered, made an offering. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, a cart for every 2 of the leaders, for each one an ox. And they presented them before the tabernacle. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Accept these from them, that they may be used in doing the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall give them to the Levites, to every man according to his service." So Moses took the carts and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. 2 carts and 4 oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon according to their service, and 4 carts and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari according to their service, under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. But to the sons of Kohath he gave none, because theirs was the service of the holy things which they carried on their shoulders. Now the leaders offered the dedication offering for the altar when it was anointed, so the leaders offered their offering before the altar. For the Lord said to Moses, "They shall offer their offering 1 liter each day for the dedication of the altar." And the one who offered his offering on the first day was Nashon, the son of Amminadab, from the tribe of Judah. His offering was 1 of silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering. 1 gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 1 male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Nashon, the son of Amminadab. On the second day, Nethanel, the son of Zuar, the leader of Issachar, presented an offering. For his offering, he offered 1 silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, 1 gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Nethanel, the son of Zuar. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.